Mountain Song, Kentucky Woman.
I have dreamed on this mountain since first I was my mother's daughter, and you can't just take my dream.
This is the Quality News Network. In Iraq last night, al-Qaeda militants attacked a national police station in Samarra, sparking a two-hour gunfight. Three people were killed, including a woman and a child. 14 fighters were arrested. North of Baghdad today, one U.S. soldier was killed and four wounded during a combat mission. Former Pakistan Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif, in exile for the past 8 years, says he will return to his country and attempt to oust current President General Pervez Musharraf. Pakistan Supreme Court ruled yesterday Sharif may return to Pakistan. Storms continue to pummel the Midwest, downing power lines, flooding neighborhoods and roadways, submerging homes and businesses. More than 1,000 people have been displaced. 24 have been killed. In Manhattan, another accident at the same Ground Zero building in which two firefighters died last week. Yesterday, a heavy piece of construction equipment fell 23 stories and injured two firefighters in a shed below. On Capitol Hill, at least one Senate panel will investigate the cave-in at Utah's Crandall Canyon coal mine. Efforts to reach six miners trapped in the collapse have been unsuccessful. Three rescue workers were killed, six injured in those attempts. A Marine drill instructor in San Diego has been charged with 225 criminal counts of physically abusing recruits. Two other drill sergeants have also been charged in the case. A government report released today says Louisiana is out $34 billion in reconstruction costs for Hurricane Katrina and Rita. Federal aid and insurance payments have not been enough to cover the estimated $100 billion in storm damage. In New Orleans, a former Army Corps of Engineers contractor has pleaded guilty to federal charges of bribery for helping a contractor in his bid to reconstruct a Hurricane Katrina damaged levee. It's the first corruption case of its kind. In Maryland, the man who shot Alabama Governor George Wallace is preparing for release after serving 35 years in prison. 57-year-old Arthur Bremer has never expressed remorse and has never given a media interview about the case. Prison officials say he's been a model prisoner. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business are next.
I know your secret. Nobody told me, but I know. Every time your little girl wants you to read her a story and you tell her you're too busy, I know. When your boy needs help with homework and you tell him to ask his mother, I know. Your wife asks you whether the warranty is still good on the broken dishwasher, and you tell her you're too tired to look for it, I know. You're very good at keeping the secret, but it does take a lot of effort to keep the charade going. It could be very scary and embarrassing if anyone found out. But I know your secret. You can't read. Neither can 93 million American adults. You're in big company. Instead of running scared, become a hero in your own family. Find a local literacy program at your library. It's free. The day you whisper in your wife's ear, "Honey, I can read," just watch how big her smile is.
This message on literacy has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your local library.
A giant panda at the Vienna Zoo gave birth yesterday to the first panda cub born in Europe in 25 years. It was a surprise to zookeepers who hadn't even been certain that Yang Yang was pregnant. Only about 1,600 giant pandas live in the wild. Only about 60% of giant pandas born in captivity survive. The iconic Big Mac, invented in Uniontown, Pennsylvania, McDonald's, is turning 40. In celebration of Big Mac, museum has just opened. An estimated 550 million Big Macs are consumed each year in the U.S. alone. Two major security breaches, one in California, one in New York, may have compromised personal data about 725,000 retirees enrolled in pension funds. Investigations are underway. Shares of Barnes & Noble rose more than 2.5% after the nation's largest bookseller reported a 9% increase in quarterly earnings. The company credited record-breaking sales of the last book in the Harry Potter series. Light sweet crude is trading at $69.77 a barrel. Gold is trading at $670.40 an ounce. Silver at $11.87 an ounce. It's been 18 years since the Exxon Valdez oil spill in Alaska, and ExxonMobil still hasn't paid the $5 billion fine meant to assist victims. There's more on our website.
This is a top to, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see, the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, oh, 11,
and most of
11,
and amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up, all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox!
Hey! Welcome aboard, everybody. It's Foxed Up for a Friday, and you know what that means. That means it's Billy Shear's Music Day, and we've got one that's been hanging in the box for a little while. Due to, bad me. But welcome aboard another wondrous day of broadcasting here on the Head On Radio Network. Oh, I swear to you, I really think this country in which I reside is going insane. I've been talking about this APEC meeting that's coming up here in September and how they're basically, cordoning off the city. Bush is coming. They're going to have cell phone blocking technology flying over Bush wherever he is and all this other nonsense. Well, there has been a massive fear campaign going on as well, trying to convince those who would like to practice free speech to not show up. And there's been a development today that is just absolutely unbelievable. However, unfortunately, you have to believe it because this is the day and age that we live in. And this has prompted responses from civil rights groups that, we are now officially in a police state. In a piece from the Sydney Morning Herald titled "More APEC Pain Revealed," states here, the New South Wales government has expanded the number of declared security zones for the upcoming Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit. The new areas include the airport, the Royal Australian Air Force Base at Richmond, around Kirribilli and Admiralty Houses, Bondi Icebergs, Sheridan on the Park, the Hilton, the Observatory, and the Marriott on College Street hotels. Police will have enhanced stop, search, and detain powers in these areas. Deputy Police Commissioner Andrew Scipione said there were still no plans to close the Harbour Bridge or tunnel, but he urged motorists traveling to the airport to avoid the Eastern Distributor and be prepared for lengthy delays. The details come as the New South Wales Police admit they are preparing for mass arrest during the meeting. Now, this is where it gets really, really frickin' spooky. They plan to quarantine at least 500 beds in jail cells already ready for protesters who will be denied bail during the week-long run. This means if you are arrested for anything during APEC, you will not be able to have the option at all of bail until APEC is completely over. Now, at least 200 prisoners will be... These are current convicted people, mind you. At least 200 prisoners will be allowed to sleep in their own beds over the APEC long weekend of September 7 to 9 to free up cells after the federal and state police asked the New South Wales government to make space for the hundreds who might be arrested during the summit in Sydney. The Attorney General, John something or other, said prisoners serving weekend detention would be excluded from their overnight stays, but he denied the decision was effectively a get-out-of-jail-free card. Shadow Attorney General Greg Smith said it was an appalling decision and other options should have been considered. There are sporting stadiums, army disposal areas, and other places that could have been arranged. Detention has been carried out in other countries of the world. It's probably been carried out here in wartime and blah, 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 blah. But, okay, they're going to let people who have already been convicted out because they are planning on mass arrests. It's not something that is a possibility. It's a plan. I mean, this is getting to be insane. There's going to be 5 kilometers of 3-meter-high concrete fences cordoning off areas of the city from the public just because George W. the Shrub, I'm an asshole Bush, is going to be down here. I cannot believe that this stuff is going on. And why, again, I ask the question, if this is such a serious event, why are they holding it in Sydney? Why is this thing not off in Canberra, which is out in the middle of friggin' nowhere, and they're going to end up disrupting business? And this is supposed to be an economic development conference. Local business is going to be screwed. And so if you want to go into any of these areas, you've got to show ID, you can be questioned, you can be denied for just, you know, whatever reason. They've brought in 22 new sniffer dogs, which they say is all just for explosives. Let's see how many minor pot arrests there are. I'm so angry about this. And it's been an absolute fear campaign. And in fact, you might remember when Cheney was here and completely disrupted the city. There were a few arrests over protests of Cheney being here. Well, 5 out of the 6 have all been kind of thrown out. The cases have been thrown out, or, you know, there were no convictions. But finally, a teacher today was convicted. Note the timing. Note the timing. And it's a teacher. Because there's also been a fear campaign because students want to come down and protest. And there's been a fear campaign against the students doing this. Meanwhile, you know, educators have said, you know, it really is your right to do this. And all the protest groups, all the major protest groups are saying this is going to be peaceful. But this is an outright fear campaign to keep people from doing what is their legal right. So much for free speech in the lucky country. You'll be lucky to have your freedom when APEC is over. We found you go to places and there are, you know, free postcards that you can grab, you know, little stands. And Gail came across one that was done up in the style of Fear and Loathing in L.A., except it says, APEC, Sydney, you have the right to remain silent. And I think it sums it up brilliantly. But they're going to let convicted people not serve their time so that they can free up space for the protesters that they plan on arresting. This is absolutely frightening, and it's scary. And it's also appalling. But with that, we're going to go to our first break. And when we come back, we have a Shears music from that's been on deck for weeks, and I'm so glad that we're getting to this. You'll remember that I did it as a track of the day a couple of months ago. I commemorated the 10th anniversary of the death of Jeff Buckley, and Mr. Shears really wasn't familiar with Mr. Buckley, so he decided he would go ahead and do a piece on Jeff, and I think you will enjoy this when we come back. So stick around. Coming up, Billy Shears and Shears Music. He didn't disappear. He's still here, so stick around. You're listening to Fox Up here on the Head On Radio Network, and we will be right back after this.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
I can't see.
And again, I was talking about the Republican debate. So we'll get to the point where we're going to drag a terrorist out to the stage with the Republicans, and they're all going to take turns kicking him in the nuts and see who the audience cheers for the most. That's going to determine who's going to be the Republican candidate. And that's what they are. Kick him in the nuts. How do they do that on South Park? Rochambeau. They're going to Rochambeau the terrorists.
Come on, rub my nipples while I torture this little piggy.
Nah, that sounds pretty sweet to me.
The Cup of Joe radio show with your host, the working man's thinking man, Joe Vecchio. 11 a.m. to noon weekdays here on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye baby by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball. While gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
Native American culture has helped shape many things, from the structure of the U.S. government to the foods we eat at the dinner table. But where Indians lack presence are newsrooms. I'm Brian Bull of the Nez Perce Tribe of Idaho and a member of the Native American Journalists Association. Please go to naja.com and learn how you can join. We need people familiar with Native culture to tell our stories and set the record straight against stereotypes and misperceptions. Naja, raising the next generation of storytellers.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is Billy Shears, and thank you for being here. I wanted to revisit Jeff Buckley, even though John Fox featured this great artist with a track of the day not too long ago. I wanted to focus on Jeff's own thoughts about his career. But first, let's recap. And in order to save time, And since John Fox can talk way faster than I can, I'll let him do the honors.
Jeff Buckley was born in California's Orange County in 1966 and died in a tragic drowning accident in Memphis on May 29, 1997, so it's just 10 years ago. He had emerged in New York City's avant-garde club scene in the 1990s as one of the most remarkable musical artists of his generation, acclaimed by audiences, critics, and fellow musicians alike. His first commercial recording, the four-song EP At Cine, was released in December 1993 on Columbia Records. The EP captured Buckley accompanying himself on electric guitar in tiny coffee houses in New York's East Village. By the time the EP's release during the fall of 1993, Buckley had already entered the studio with producer Andy Wallace and recorded seven original songs, including Grace and Last Goodbye.
Jeff talks about spirituality and the impact coming from Southern California, and as Jeff would call it, the quack capital of the world.
I've seen a channeler. I've talked to a few. Largely, yes, I held them as all bullshit. But there's a... I think people are divine and eternal. I think that people live on many, many different levels. You know, see things, understand things in a way. Yes, we're totally mortal, and I don't even know what this is. I don't even know what that is. This flesh thing. Or this earth thing. I don't know. But I'm finding out all the time. But I guess so. I sometimes think it's just a dream that your soul had in order to reach out to people and to kiss or dance or something. You know. I'm not so sure that some guy in the sky with a beard baked you in an oven and put his finger in your belly button and that's how you came about. I think this, I don't know. It's all arbitrary, but I don't go for gurus. I don't relish the idea of people kissing the foot of a yogi somewhere in an ashram in order to achieve enlightenment. I mean, learning is great, and learning from people who know more than you—that's fine. But I just come from a long. I come from a culture that sort of is prone to giving itself up to some sort of desperate trend. You know, I don't believe in it, but I believe in people, and I believe in their divinity. I believe in the divinity of nature, totally. And the order of things, and the many, many, many systems that make up chaos and all that stuff, and I love it.
Here, Jeff broaches the subject of creativity. He's fully aware of the fact that we are all creative, and that it's just heightened human language.
If you've spent a night making love, you know exactly what it means to strip your ego down, where you are there expressing yourself wordlessly, collaborating on a moment that has an energy about it that is replenishing or even completely inspirational in a way you could never imagine. And that's the way art really is. Or if you've raised a child, that is an artistic venture, baby. You solve problems. You express yourself to the kid. You feed your soul to the kid, or else he or she doesn't. You know, they get you, and that's art. That's an artistic moment. And everybody has done it. Everybody will do it. It's not just musicians. And I love that. jazz, and I garnered a lot of love of improv from things like Duke Ellington and Miles and arrangement and pacing. But basically, all that music comes from moving people in a live setting. Live meaning not on television, live meaning not on the radio, live meaning you are there, there's some people there in a performance space, and they're moving the hell out of you.
Now, here's Jeff Buckley's cover of Nina Simone's Lilac Wine.
Lilac wine is sweet and heady like my love. Lilac wine steady like my love. Listen to me, I cannot see clearly. Isn't that she coming to me nearly here?
This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
And thank you, Mr. Shears. You know, voice of a bloody angel, you know? And as Bob was just saying to me in the production chat, you know, it's just such a loss when, you know, something so awful happens to someone with such talent. In a moment of stupidity, jumping into a river for a swim with your shoes on. And that was it. He was gone. I mean, just still one of the most amazing voices of the modern age. And I love that whole bit about, you know, a god, you know, in the oven and sticking his finger in your belly button. Just fantastic. But that Nina Simone cover, the live version off the live DVD from Chicago is just amazing. Yeah, if you can find it in your local DVD shop to rent or buy, you have to check out the Live in Chicago DVD. It'll just absolutely just tear your head off. It's something to behold. It really is. The band, his band, one of the most tight packages I have ever witnessed. You know, a drummer who plays with such conviction, and there's something about the connection between the drummer and the bass player in that made it work so unbelievably well, and it was a connection between the bass player and the drummer's right foot, that kick drum foot. It's just absolutely unbelievable. I get lost listening to Jeff Buckley. I really do. And at some time I'll play some stuff off of the album that was released after he passed, For My Sweetheart the Drunk. It's really, really good. And because that first record, Grace, really had a bunch of covers on it. You know, it was about half covers, half original stuff. For My Sweetheart the Drunk was much more, original composition filled. But just outstanding and really nicely done, Billy. I don't know how you find this stuff. Unbelievable, man. And don't forget, Billy Shears, Saturday nights, 9 to midnight Eastern time, with Night Sounds. And what a great show he's got going on the horn here. Just fantastic. Again, it reminds me so much of what I remember FM radio being when I was growing up. You know, a little bit of something for everyone. You know, and just not trying to go to a test-marketed, you know, demographic. It's just like, here's music. Here's good music. You know, here's stuff that matters. And, in my mind, Jeff is definitely someone that mattered. But moving on, we're going to blow out the bottom of the hour break because, you know, this is my last show for a week before I go on vacation. and I can't wait. Actually, we're going to this really, really neat place down the south coast of New South Wales, just south of Batemans Bay. We're going to a little place called Mogo, and it was a gold rush town. And it went from a population of, you know, like negative five, and then one nugget of gold was found, and suddenly it had 10,000 people. And these days, it has a population of about 250, but it had a resurgence in the 90s, from what I understand, and it's become a real arts community. They've got art galleries, and they're really known for a huge glass-blowing community. And you can even go fossicking for gold, if you like. It's in the rainforest. I can't wait. It's going to be really, really good. But anyway, let's get back into some serious stuff here. If you're curious to read up more on what's been happening with the build up to this APEC summit, you can go to the City Morning Herald, and they have a special page for APEC, and it's just smh.com.au/APEC. That's smh.com.au/APEC, and that's where they've been. You know, they have a running record of all the news involving this. And reports are that this 11-day event has cost the Australian taxpayers $350 million. That's right, $350 million. For the leaders of a handful of nations. You tell me that this isn't just an absolute exercise in excess. And it wouldn't have cost this insane amount of money if they had held it in Canberra. It's absolutely bloody criminal. Gail and I have been sitting here just screaming at the television and the news. And it's interesting. This client of mine in the city, they're going on holiday during APEC. They want to know nothing about it, and they know and understand my views on things. They don't necessarily agree with all of them, but they're very understanding. They're very, very cool people, and they kind of read me quietly. The Riot Act the other day, saying, now look, don't get involved. We need you, you know, like very much. We don't want to hear that you're locked up because you went down to go, you know, even though they feel that all of this is insane, all of this is wrong. I mean, you know, I was at the office, and the last time I was down at their office, the Black Hawk helicopters were running. You know, running exercises and buzzing all the building tops, and it's just bizarre. It's absolutely bizarre. And Bob's just made an interesting comment in the production chat, saying, you know, the cost is the protection racket fee and lodge dues for being in a criminal cabal. Don't look at the amount of money so much as where it goes. And you're absolutely right, man. $600,000 for a water cannon. And I mean, this is all massive, massive, just the fear campaign. I'm telling you, they've been working on this for months. And I think I'm afraid that they're going to end up getting what they're asking for, because people are getting angry now. As opposed to having an opportunity to voice their opinions about things that are happening in this world, and the fact that, you know, the planet's number one war criminal, George W. Bush, is going to be down here disrupting, you know, this nation's most important city. I'm afraid that, as opposed to having a couple of yokels out of the mob causing a little bit of trouble, I think you're going to have some really, really angry, angry citizens showing up to say, okay, you wanted trouble? You're going to get trouble. Not that I'm advocating any of this. However, when you put this much of a fear campaign on people who understand their rights and understand the importance of these issues, and you deny them their rights to free speech, it's making me think of this Van Halen song from the ill-fated Van Halen 3 album, you know, the ballot or the bullet, the choice is up to you. It's just, and Bob's making some really good comments here, you know, with that kind of crowd control, John, you have to wonder how many innocent people would just happen to have a heart attack on the wrong damn day and are going to die, you know, because an ambulance can't reach or couldn't get through. And you're absolutely right, man. You're absolutely right. You know, they say that they're not going to close off the Sydney Harbour Bridge. I'll put my money on the fact that they're going to come up with some excuse, or George W. Bush is going to just decide that he wants to go somewhere at the last minute, and suddenly the main artery from the north of the city is going to be cut off. Now, and not only that, on the weekend that this is all happening, scheduled long before APEC, Bondi Beach is having one of their big annual festivals. Well, now that's being disrupted because, well, people involved in APEC are going to go down for lunch, don't you know? And they're not happy. People who have invested a whole lot of money into an event are now going to have it completely disrupted. I mean, all this just goes on and on and on. And I'm really... I say I'm disappointed, but I'm not sure exactly how much control he had over the situation. The state premier, Morris Yemma, you know, is doing all this stuff, but I think it's because of Howard's lead, and I don't know how much control he's had over it, but I really wish he had resisted more. In the beginning, he had shown his displeasure with the fact that it was coming here, but then once it was kind of a fait accompli, you know, what is he supposed to do? And, you know, they basically, now the cops have the right to search you on demand for no reason, detain you for no reason. They can confiscate whatever they want. And, you know, they're saying, oh, you know, we're looking for bombs and we're looking for this, but, you know, any stick longer than, you know, 12 inches and, you know, anything that could possibly be used as a weapon. Let's just see how far they stretch this. The whole thing just has me so incensed. You know, and from the Australian, there's a couple of quotes dealing with the developments today. It says, we've been advised by law enforcement authorities to prepare for the event of people engaging in behavior that will result in them being refused bail. The simple message that everybody needs to understand that if you misconduct yourself during the APEC period in a security zone, there is a jail bed waiting for you. This is just nuts. And so, you know, a misdemeanor now, you'll be, you're going to be locked up for 11 days possibly, with no chance for bail. They have removed bail. So, again, another instance in this modern world of due process being eliminated from people's, you know, people's rights are just being absolutely decimated. And I'm very happy to hear the mainstream media, even some of the commercial networks, saying that Sydney will be a police state. And let's see how they try and keep these powers after the fact, because I reckon it's going to happen. This whole thing is just absolutely nuts. It's criminal. My bloody browser's locked up. Let's see if I can get any of my other stuff going. Oh, this is not fun. that's a drag. Okay. Fun. Browser lock. Okay. Well, anyway, I'll try and deal with this while I continue to talk. Anyway, while I wait for my... That's very strange. That never happens on this laptop, but hey. It's probably because I got the Australian open. There's probably some Murdoch script in there that's locking up my machine. Sitting there looking for, you know, content that Murdoch doesn't want me to be looking at, or they've heard me reporting. Oh my. Because I've got more on mountaintop removal from our good friend Nanette, continuing on from the subject yesterday. So I'm going to try and get this little thing up here. Yes, I'll restore that session. Thank you very much. I mean, I've made a decision, and it's a really hard decision for me it has been a difficult decision for me to make, but I originally, you know, when APEC was first announced, you know, I was going to go all geared up with my press pass and you know, head down and report on the situation, go down with my recorder, go down with my camera, and go check it out. But at this point, I'm not going to, because this is so draconian, the atmosphere down here, that, you know, and I'm an immigrant. I don't have my citizenship here yet. And I don't want to give them an excuse to just go, you're a troublemaker. We're going to send you home. Even though this is my home, as far as I consider it. I've been here almost 9 years. But I'm going to be getting back from holidays just in time for, you know, about a week before this thing starts. And I'm going to try and get as much information as I can without putting my own, you know, safety and freedom. I can't believe I'm saying this in a democracy. I am worried about going and reporting on an event because of the stance of the government. How twisted and wrong is that? How broken is all this? All right. Anyway. Okay. All right. From Nanette, this actually isn't mountaintop removal, but I've spoken at length at times that, you know, I get really tired of hearing at the top of all these politicians, you know, green lists is the idea of clean coal. And I keep reminding people that we have yet to see clean coal actually happen. We have never seen it work, ever, anywhere, in any way, shape, or form. It's still, you know, a concept. It's a concept that has possibilities, but the reality could be a very different thing. And from industrialwastewatcher.wordpress.com, this piece here, DOE classifies report that finds no advantage in touted carbon capture technology. Funny, they classified it. And they say here, while most posts on this site focus directly on coal combustion wastes and other industrial byproducts, occasionally a related issue comes up that is seemingly less directly related to industrial waste, but nevertheless must be addressed. Anything to do with so-called clean coal technologies fits in this category. First, because clean coal doesn't exist. See the numerous communities and websites devoted to exposing the dirty truth behind mountaintop removal and other forms of coal mining, as well as environmental justice groups fighting dirty coal-burning power plants or communities concerned about coal combustion waste placement in their backyards. And second, because even if coal magically showed up without a dirty mining, processing, or transporting legacy to a new clean coal-burning power plant, that power plant would still produce CO2, a greenhouse gas, and what the Department of Energy calls coal utilization byproducts, yep, so-called clean coal plants still pollute and still produce coal combustion waste. Another blog shed light recently on a blatant administration attempt to squelch the bad news on the infeasibility of so-called carbon capture technologies that are so readily touted by government and industry. A July 6 blog post by Gas Turbine World magazine described the DOE NETL report that was completed in February this year, but has been held up internally pending management approval for months. As the blog post describes it, the NETL report, chilled ammonia-based wet scrubbing for post-combustion CO2 capture, suggests that for CO2 capture, the new technology offers no advantage over currently available mine-based absorption systems in terms of cost performance. And there's links all over this post for background information. This is a big deal since, as the blog post goes on to describe, the PC pulverized coal sector of the industry is touting chilled ammonia as the saving technology development that will preserve the viability of coal-burning steam plants in a carbon-restrained world, emphasis added. It's also a big deal for current projects in the works to attempt to demonstrate the chilled ammonia technology for CO2 capture. Current projects are planned in a couple of states, including West Virginia. As WBOY News reported in March, AEP plans to test the Alstom technology in its Mountaineer power plant. WBOY.com's March news report optimistically continued, the chilled ammonia process may offer a solution for existing pulverized coal plants. Plants that may have thought would become too expensive to operate if federal climate change legislation regulates CO2 emissions. A July 11th Greenwire report noted that according to NETL, the report was never intended for an external audience. Pardon me? And that it would remain classified unless the agency was compelled to release it under a Freedom of Information Act request. The Greenwire article went on to say that the utility industry officials say they know of the report but have not seen a formal copy. Alleged clean coal burning schemes are expensive and unrealistic. In addition to doing nothing to address the irreversible environmental damage that results from coal extraction in the first place, it's time to stop mentioning coal, any type of coal, whether it's clean coal, IGCC, coal to liquids, etc. In any discussion of energy future, coal is dirty. It creates waste. The fossil fuels like coal, no matter how much you greenwash, change perceptions, or offset the consumption, contribute to climate destabilization. Additional coverage of the DOE findings on chilled ammonia include links to the DOE report, and there's a bunch of links there. Chilled ammonia-based wet scrubbing for post-combustion CO2 capture can be found at Carbon Control News. This is a subscription service, but you can register for a free trial to view the report, and I will be checking that out. So if you want to find all this, I'm sorry, I've been so busy that I did not get to do a blog post today, but go to industrialwastewatcher.wordpress.com, and you will be able to find this DOE article. It was just published about 2 days ago, and it's, you know, I've been saying for like a year to all of you that this whole clean coal thing is a myth. It doesn't work. And not only that, okay, even if you were able to sequester the CO2 into like bedrock, which is one of the things that they talk about, right? We have seen, it happened in England, I think it was, a couple years ago, where a natural CO2 deposit underground was released. Not by anyone. It just, this was nature, you know, things happened and poof, this huge release of CO2, and thousands were dead instantly. Funny how we didn't really hear about this big in the news, you know. It was one of those, you know, oh, something happened, a bunch of people died. Next story. Because if they actually focused on it, people could make the connection that, hey, wait a minute, if nature can do this, what happens if we start pumping masses and masses of CO2 into the ground? Do you not see a problem with this? And along with that, we have all this corporate welfare that is going to the coal industry in the United States, here in Australia, to try and develop this technology to the tune of billions, but yet we can hardly squeeze out a dime for renewable energies. We cannot squeeze out a dime for SPEG systems that self-contained geothermal solar system that I covered in depth a couple months back, you know, which there is a huge, they have a massive one of these running in Spain at the moment, and it's huge. It's completely self-contained and totally carbon neutral after it's been built. Okay, there is a footprint, but it's not much, and it's only during the construction process, and the construction's not even that bad. Thank you very much, Nanette, for that. I will, when I get back from holidays, do some more. I'll be checking out a lot of these links and doing some research and getting some stuff together for you all. pardon me, because this is crucial. Again, you know, Bruce and I, when we were doing the old Fourth Estate radio show, we used to talk about we're not having the conversations we need to have. Well, this is one of those conversations we really shouldn't be wasting so much time on, this whole thing about clean coal. It doesn't exist. I wish Peter Garrett, who is now a Labour politician, wouldn't be talking about clean coal. But he's, you know, his arm has been twisted because of the coal mafia in this country. And I feel bad for him, but I also am frustrated with him because I feel like everyone who was happy that he was getting into politics because of his stands that he took in his music and in his life and the work that he did before politics. And I still think he has the right intentions and is trying to work from the inside. However, instead of, you know, there was, he probably would have done better going with the Greens to be able to speak his mind. However, the decision was made to go with Labor because it was a major party, and I think he believed he would be able to have more of an impact being part of the opposition. And, you know, I mean, it's a frustrating thing. And I imagine that Peter's got to be frustrated too. And I know that at a union rally / concert thing that was here a couple months ago, where he showed up, some of his former friends or friends from the music industry, I think, read him the riot act from reports that I got, saying, you know, what happened, man? Where did your testicles go? Did you have to sell them to get into the Labor Party? It's a very frustrating thing. But anyway, we're starting to come up on the end of the show today. And don't forget, I'm going to be off all next week as I go off on my little vacation, first one in many years. And Gail and I reckon are going to enjoy it very much, and it'll end up being far shorter than we wish it could, than it will be. And so, you know, I'll be back in a week. I'll probably be chomping at the bit by that time, because I guarantee while I'm going to be fairly offline for a while, there's going to be more developments over APEC. I think it'll be nice to detach from it all for a while, because it's been more than frustrating, to be perfectly honest. And, you know, it's just... It's madness. It's madness here, and it's going to be good to escape from it for a while, and then reality comes slapping me right back in the face when we get home. But anyway, before we get out of here, I want to thank Bob Kincaid for producing the program all this week, and as he does most of the time, wonderful job. Thank you to our mods and our bloggers and ELO, wonderful, wonderful job on our new groovy little emoticon page for the chat room. It's made for great fun during Peter's program last night, and also Peter's program last night was something else. That whole I'm not even into disco, but that guest was just absolutely outstanding. What that guy recreated, and if you didn't catch it, go to White Rose and get the archive. It's just absolutely awesome. Thank you to Billy Shears for today's spot, and don't forget about his show on Saturday night. Thank you to Scott Berry at B1 Louder, who just got home from touring with Bob Dylan. Maybe we'll even get him in here and see if we can get any inside poop on what it's like to go on the road with, you know, a legend of legends. In his words, when I talked to him today, he said, "Now that was a whole new kind of stress." So I'll have to wait for the big debrief when I get back. And you know, thanks to the bloggers, you all rock. Thanks for all the stuff that you sent to me today. And hey, thanks to you. Stay here on Fox. Be good, be green, and we'll see you in a week.
Stop thinking about music and politics. Tell you that sometimes it's easier to desire and pursue the attention and admiration of 100 strangers than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes, eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. And I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication, It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's f***. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics.
This is the Head-On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is the Quality News Network. British authorities say it appears a U.S. airstrike in South Afghanistan last night killed three British soldiers and wounded another two. The British troops called in air support when their patrol was attacked by the Taliban. North of Baghdad today, one U.S. soldier was killed and four wounded during a combat mission. Last night, al-Qaeda militants attacked a national police station in Samarra, sparking a two-hour gunfight. Three people were killed, including a woman and a child. 14 fighters were arrested. A dozen Pakistani soldiers were killed today in several bombings, most of them near the Afghanistan border. In the past month, 60 soldiers and 250 militants have been killed. China announced 17 pounds of radioactive uranium at the center of a criminal trial are missing. Four men are accused of attempting to sell the material on the black market. Police say the uranium, which may be used to make nuclear weaponry, cannot be found. Storms continue to pummel the Midwest, downing power lines, flooding neighborhoods and roadways, submerging homes and businesses. More than 1,000 people have been displaced. 24 have been killed. On Capitol Hill, at least one Senate panel will investigate the cave-in at Utah's Crandall Canyon coal mine. Efforts to reach six miners trapped in the collapse have been unsuccessful. Three rescue workers were killed, six injured in those attempts. A Marine drill instructor in San Diego has been charged with 225 criminal counts of physically abusing recruits. Two other drill sergeants have also been charged in the case. A government report released today says Louisiana is out $34 billion in reconstruction costs for Hurricane Katrina and Rita. Federal aid and insurance payments have not been enough to cover the estimated $100 billion in storm damage. In Jackson, Mississippi, the elder Ku Klux Klansman, recently convicted of murdering two black teenagers more than four decades ago, will be sentenced today. The 72-year-old faces life in prison. In Maryland, the man who shot Alabama